Lord, I stand before you and these people today in need of your grace and mercy. Let what I say this morning be of use to you and what you're trying to accomplish in our lives. Give us ears to hear your word and hearts to accept it. Amen. Why, when we look at the world around us, why, when we look on our own lives, do we see that suffering is a problem? Well, I think most basically we see it as a problem because we don't like it. We come here on Sunday morning, we go to our houses, and we have air conditioning. How often do we see air conditioning as a problem? Or heat in the wintertime, or indoor plumbing. Oh, how many of you really complain? I have indoor plumbing and I hate it. Or a car to drive. Oh, I am so sad that I have a car to drive and I don't have to walk to work every day. We like having cars to drive. We like having homes to live in. We like having air conditioning, indoor plumbing. But when it comes to suffering, we don't like it. It's a pain. It's a bother. It hurts us. I haven't asked everybody, but my guess is that suffering's a problem for pretty much everybody because all of us see it. We're all immersed in it in one way or form or another. Now, obviously, some people suffer more than others. Some people seem to be the brunt of horrendous sufferings. Well, many of us just have sort of pedestrian sufferings. Some of the people we see suffering, they seem to deserve it. When we see somebody that's had too much to drink and they run off the road and wreck the car and end up in the hospital, we can understand that why that happened. They drank too much and it clouded their judgment and their reaction. But if instead of running off the road just hurting themselves, they run into somebody and kill them, we don't get it. We see people that are suffering for no explanation whatsoever. Except what somebody else did. Of course, sometimes we get a skewed view of suffering. We live in a country of immense wealth. Most of us live lives of comparative ease. We have great power. We have a sense of entitlement, and suffering seems to be something that happens to other people. We also live in an age of great technology. We think that we ought to be able to know enough and engineer enough and figure out enough that suffering should be in the past. Yet however long our engineers keep working, however long our medical people keep doing their research, there still seems to be more to do. And we don't seem to be able to get past it. We ask the question, why? Why is there suffering, not just out there, but why is there suffering in here in my life? As Christians, we ask that question too. We look at the Bible for an answer, and one of our problems is we see a formula that we might take from that, and it doesn't make sense. Formula starts off with God is all powerful. Have you heard that one before? Have you heard God is all-powerful? How about God is all-knowing? God knows and understands everything. How about God is all-good? We've heard those three things before. Then the fourth thing, there's suffering. We don't know how those four things fit together. It's like trying to get a four-sided triangle. Have you ever seen a triangle with four sides? Doesn't work. So we think of this formula, but we don't know what to do with it. People we see in the Bible had trouble with understanding suffering too. In the Old Testament, we see the people of God, Israel. They know that God called them and made a covenant with them in Abraham. They know that Moses led them out from slavery in Egypt. They know that Joshua and the judges settled them in the land. They know that David built his mighty kingdom. They know that they're God's people, God's chosen people to represent him to the nations. So when the Babylonians come and besiege Jerusalem, I still have confidence. Yeah, we've got the temple of the Lord here. God's house is here in this very town. There's nothing bad going to happen to us. But something bad does happen. The Babylonians knock down the wall. The Babylonians destroy the temple. The Babylonians destroy the temple. The Babylonians carry off lots of the people to Babylon. They're in exile. What can they make of it? Well, one thing they can make of it is that this suffering they're experiencing is a sign of God's disfavor. We can see that in the Old Testament. These people have sinned. They've rebelled against God. They've worshipped idols. They haven't acted with justice toward their neighbors. So God sent judgment. That works pretty well, doesn't it? How's that work as a methodology? Then maybe we can just live good lives. We can just keep ourselves straight with God and everything will be happy, right? And there'll be no more suffering. But it doesn't seem that way. Even as we continue in the Bible, we know the story of Jesus and his disciples walking along through a city one day, and there's a blind guy there, and the disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, why is this guy blind? Why is he suffering? Is it because of what he did? Or is he suffering the consequences of what his parents did?" Jesus says neither. It's an occasion for God to show his glory. Or look at Jesus himself hanging on the cross. The natural conclusion for the people to draw as they saw Jesus hanging there, oh, he must have really blown it with God. Must have been all that blasphemy that he did. All those bad, evil things he had to say. Did you hear what he said when he went to the temple? He said, "Tear down the temple, and I'll rebuild it." Can you imagine the audacity? And here he is on the cross, getting what he deserves. It doesn't work that way. We read the Bible over and over again, looking for an answer to the why question. Why suffer? The best we get are partial answers. We get the partial answer of, well, yes, suffering is caused by sin and its consequences. I understand that. I see that. Sometimes I suffer because of what other people do. Sometimes other people suffer because of what I do. We've seen that. We've seen it in families where sometimes because of what mom or dad or what mom and dad do, the children suffer. Sometimes we see parents suffer because of what their kids do. But that's only a partial explanation. Other people say, well, we need suffering to build our character, to build our souls. And if we had no suffering, if everything in life was easy and pain-free, then we wouldn't have much character. Well, yeah, I can see some truth in that, but that's still not a very adequate answer. In fact, as I read the Bible over and over again, I don't see a complete answer that satisfies me. I don't see the answer to the why question. But instead of answering the why question, I see God doing something else. Here in Philippians chapter 2, I see that in the midst of suffering, God sends Jesus. In the midst of suffering, God doesn't keep a distance from it. But God steps in and joins us in the midst of it. Boy, that's a strange thing to do. If I were Jesus, I sure wouldn't do that. I'd keep my distance. And yet we see Jesus coming into the world, sharing our life, suffering willingly for people, for us. When I look at Jesus and his suffering, that gives me a few clues as to how I might understand suffering. Number one, I see that suffering isn't the absolute worst thing. We see later on in 1 Peter that it's better to suffer than to inflict suffering. It's better to undergo persecution than to persecute. It's better to undergo hardship than to inflict hardship. Suffering isn't the worst thing. I also see here that suffering isn't a sign of God's disapproval. So when I suffer, I can't say, oh, well, God hates me. Third thing I see, and the best thing of all, is that suffering doesn't get the last word. We see Jesus coming into the world, taking our sin and its consequences upon himself, dying on the cross. Suffering. Does suffering get the last word with him? No, God raises him from the dead. The same way in our lives, suffering doesn't get the last word. I see here also that in Jesus, God gives us resources to help us deal with suffering. First, I see that he gives us the resources to put suffering into perspective. Here in verses 3 and 4, it reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." If I am going to understand suffering properly, it helps to take my eyes off myself. I know when I was growing up, I knew I suffered an awful lot. I don't know about you, but my mom would come and say, "Richard, go clean up your room." And I didn't want to do it. I had other and better things to do. Or it was a school day, and my mom would come in and say, "Get up and go to school." "I don't want to." "You have to anyway." "Oh, I suffered." Or one, I've told you about the time I took my calculus test, and I got a 37 on it. All because I didn't write neatly. I suffered. Or the time I was playing soccer and Brian Haskell came and stepped on my toe. Have you had somebody step on your toe before? Wearing cleats? And it's not just a little dainty step in your toe, but we're running, we're playing soccer. I broke my toe. And it hurt off and on for about 10 years. Every time the weather would change, my toe would hurt. For some reason, it hadn't hurt for years. Then a couple weeks ago, it hurt again. I don't know why. I suffered. I'm sure y'all hear that, and your word to me is grow up. But you see, that's one of the things that helps us get perspective on suffering, is taking our eyes off of ourselves. A broken toe hurts. Maybe some of y'all have had a broken toe and it hurts. There's an awful lot worse than a broken toe out there, people. A 37 on a calculus test, that hurts. But there's an awful lot more that hurts more than that. When we take our eyes off of ourselves, when the whole world is not revolving around me, we can see suffering better in perspective. So the first thing that Jesus gives us is perspective on suffering. The second thing is he gives us a resource. He unites us with himself through the Holy Spirit. So when we're out there in the world, when we're suffering, whether it's a broken toe, whether it's 37 on a calculus test, whether it's having to get up in the morning when you don't want to, whether it's going to a job you don't really care for, or whether it's having terminal cancer, the Holy Spirit is there with you. You're not alone. God doesn't say to us, "Oh, you're suffering? Well, tell me when you're finished. Or just go ahead and do it by yourself and then come on up to heaven when you're done." God gives us the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time so we're not alone, so we don't have to do it by ourselves. But there's a related consequence to that. God also puts us through the Holy Spirit into connection with other people. Have any of you ever seen the Holy Spirit? Well, I've seen the Holy Spirit's effects. I've seen the Holy Spirit's influence, but I haven't seen the Holy Spirit. But God, through the Holy Spirit, unites us to the people around us. Look around you. Look at these people. God gives us each other. So that when we're suffering, we have people that will come alongside of us, who won't leave us, who won't desert us, won't say, "Oh, you're in pain. by. God calls us to be with each other. And that's the fourth resource I see here is Jesus gives us an invitation to join Him in getting close to those who are suffering and to enter in with their suffering. Now, that's not at all my inclination. My inclination when I see suffering is to say, yuck, and to go the opposite direction. That's our culture's perspective generally, isn't it? That's why sometimes we take old people and lock them up in homes. Some of them, well, they're helped by nursing homes. But other people, we just want to get rid of them. We don't want to be reminded that we're going to be there someday. Or when people are dying, well, let's just stick them in the hospital. The hospital can't do a whole lot for them. Maybe hook them up to machines and keep their body going for a little bit longer. But we just don't want them near us. Ooh, yuck. But our response to suffering is also not the opposite. It's not, oh boy, I get to suffer some more. Give me some pain, the more the better. You know, no pain, no gain. Yeah, give me some more. No. Our response, like Jesus, is a response driven by love. A response that is willing to get to close to people in their pain, in their anguish, in their misery, not so we can leech off of it. Not so we can show our superiority, but so that we can love them. Occasionally when we get close to people. Occasionally when we don't run away from suffering. We can do something about it. There are times where we can alleviate that suffering. There's times when there's a family that's hurting that we can come inside and be a friend to them. Maybe a dad to the children, a mother to the children. Maybe a light in the darkness. We can't alleviate, we can't remove all suffering. But when we get close to it in the power of the Spirit, there are times where we can do something. The final resource that Jesus gives us as we confront the problem of suffering is the promise of resurrection. Just as suffering didn't get the last word with Jesus, suffering doesn't get the last word with us. God's promise in Jesus is when we put our faith in Him, His destiny becomes our destiny. His destiny, as we see in Scripture, was crucifixion. No, don't like that. But then raised again on the third day. God's promise to all who put their faith in Jesus is resurrection. That's great, but remember, He also calls us to go with other people. So we can embody, we can live out, we can offer also that promise of resurrection. That good news that suffering doesn't get the last word, however horrible, however awful it might be. Today, are you willing to look to Jesus? In the midst of suffering, whether it's yours or somebody else's. I'm not offering in Jesus a complete answer to why. But what I'm saying is, instead of the formula, God is all powerful, God is all knowing, God is all good, there's suffering. What I see in the Bible is there is suffering. God entered into it. And God defeats it in the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the gift of Jesus. Jesus who loved us enough to not hide Himself from us, to not stay away from us just because, well, we infected Him with our suffering. But we thank You also for the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that we have in Him. Help us to love each other. Love each other through the easy times and the hard times. Take away from us our fear of suffering so that we will have the willingness to go to people even when they're alone, even when they're broken, even when they're hurting, and share Your love, Your promise of life. In Jesus' name, amen.